up to the book of Galatians. We are coming down to the end here. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Bumi, thank you for reading that passage for us today. Today, the title of our message is Set Free to Do Good. Set free to do good. And I want to be really clear with you. If I'm not careful and you don't listen well, you may think that this could be a moralistic message. And I want you to hear me say, there is no way that any of us can do good outside of Jesus Christ who resides within us. Paul says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There are none good, no one, no one. So all of our righteousness is as filthy rags on our own. Any good that we seek to try to do outside of Christ, anything that we try to do to earn favor with God, anything that we try to do to make the scales outweigh my good is going to outweigh my bad, that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today, as Bumi read just a moment ago in Galatians 6:1, Paul begins to write to us and he speaks to brothers. Did you notice that? He said, brothers. He then talks to those who are spiritual. He closed out that passage in verse 10, talking about those who are the household of faith. So what he's speaking to here is those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, those who are a part of the church global, specifically even this local expression, Life Point Riverdale. He's saying, listen, the next step, what you're living out, because remember, the Bible was not written, these books were not written with chapters and verses. This is a long letter that Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia. If you can imagine a long email that you've written, maybe a long letter that you've written, it lasts for several years, and then someone gets it, and they begin putting chapters and verses to it. This is what's happening. And so this passage here is continuing on with what Heath preached last week about the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit. This is just a continuation. Look, though, how that ended last week and the lead into this week. Look at chapter 5, verse 25, if you will. Verse 26. He says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Now, what's he getting us to here? Well, if he's talking about us being in a community, and I want to make sure that you hear me. This is a communal passage, not like we sell everything and we get into a commune. What he's talking about here is this is a passage of community, brothers and sisters, and you're going to hear me repeat this over and over during this message. Brothers and sisters, people who are spiritual, people who are in the household of faith. And what he is telling us here is that in the household of faith, because we've been set free by the gospel, not works of flesh, not marks in our flesh, not how high can you jump, not who can you serve, not how much money can you give, but because you've been set free by the gospel, Jesus Christ crucified, perfect life, crucified, buried, rose again 3 days later, seated at the right hand of the Father. Because you've been set free by that gospel, you can do good. Well, how can you do good as a brother and sister? Well, you can do good, number one, by being gentle. How are you gentle? Well, he starts out by telling us how we're not to be gentle. We're not to provoke one another. We're not to be conceited against one another. We're not to be envying one another. Think about the context here that we're in. He's just talked about the deeds of the flesh, and he talked about, or the works of the flesh, and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What ends up happening is those who are spiritual many times, or you're looking at people who are doing works of the flesh, and you're thinking, well, at least I'm not them. I'm not doing what they're doing. And you begin to measure yourself against someone else, and then you begin to be puffed up with pride and arrogance. Or maybe you aren't one who consider yourself spiritual, and you're looking at someone, and you're thinking they're spiritually, like, these are the super giants right here. These are the super giants. And you're envying what they have. And he says, listen, this isn't how we're to act. This is not what we're to do. And then he continues on, and he says, brothers and sisters, brothers, those of you who are spiritual, if you see someone who is in a transgression, they're caught in a transgression, you, brothers, sisters, those who are spiritual, you're to go and restore them. The word restore in verse 1 there is the same word that the writer Matthew in the gospel in Matthew chapter 4 writes when he's talking about Jesus walking along the shores of Galilee, about to call his disciples, and he sees James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. And what were they doing when he saw them? says they were sitting by their boats and they were mending their nets. They were mending their nets. So what he's telling them right here is he says, listen, you should go, those of you who are brothers and sisters. Did I tell you I'm going to repeat that a lot? Brothers and sisters and spiritual, those of you who are of the household of faith, when you see a brother and sister who is in transgression, they're caught in sin. He's not talking about apostasy here, like I'm disowning the faith. He's talking about someone who's struggling. They're a brother or sister, they're struggling. They may be even caught in a sinful lifestyle. He says, you guys who are spiritual, your responsibility is to go and you're to restore them, to mend them, to help mend the relationship with the community, to help mend their relationship with the Lord Jesus. But then he gives a caveat and he says, but you're to do it how? Gently. Does that sound familiar from last week? That's a fruit of the Spirit. You see, what Paul's doing here is he's going to give a living illustration of what community life looks like as one who is living out in the Spirit. Oftentimes in our day and time, we see today, and you may be on television or you read somewhere, that if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to do this and this and this and this, and it's going to be very demonstrative. It's going to be all these things. I want to tell you what Spirit life looks like is what Paul wrote in Galatians. It's being filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And when you see people who are of the household of the faith, who are spiritual, living that out, you go, that's a Spirit-filled person right there. That's a Spirit-filled person. Amy and I have been married for over 30 years, and when we first got married, we lived in Tampa, Florida. We lived just outside of Tampa in a small little community. In our little small house, we lived on a cul-de-sac, and at the top of the cul-de-sac, which was only probably three more houses up, we had a huge orange grove. We didn't have it. It was there. It wasn't ours. But I loved this time of the year. Until April. This time of the year, right now, until April, is when oranges come into season. They're ripe. They're full. And you know what you begin to smell at somewhere around this time? You begin to smell citrus. You begin to smell them. It's incredible. Jordan was small when we lived there, and we would go and we would walk through that grove. If you're from Florida, you never say an orange orchard. It's not. It's a grove. So you're walking through there. You're smelling it. You're seeing them. You're seeing the bright colors, the sizes. Do you know what would happen many times when you would brush by a branch? If it's ripe, it drops. Folks, do you know what Paul is saying to us here? He's saying, listen, when you come in contact with a brother, a sister, someone in the household of the faith, someone who is spiritually mature, there should be an aroma about them. There should be a sight. There should be the fruit of the Spirit dropping off of them. He says, those of you who are doing this, your responsibility is to come along, brothers and sisters, and restore them, to mend them. But you better do it gently. You better do it gently, lest, don't you love that biblical word? Lest you fall to temptation. Lest you fall to temptation. You see, he's beginning to talk here about, listen, when the fruit of the Spirit is alive in your life, you're to exhibit it gently with a brother or a sister. You're not coming at them in their grill. You're not getting them in the face. Hey, what are you doing? You idiot. You're stinking. Buck up. No. He says you come to them gently. Come to them gently. Encourage them. Do you realize when you begin to share the fruit of the Spirit and it begins to exhibit in your life, that as you exhibit one fruit, do you realize that the other fruit begins to pop out? It just happens. See, what Paul is talking about, let me illustrate this. What Paul's talking about here, his underlying message here is that there has to be a humility about your life as brothers and sisters. There has to be a humility about your life, those of you who are spiritually mature, not looking down, not thinking, oh, at least I'm not that Pharisee. I'm not a tax collector. Remember that story from the New Testament? At least I'm not doing what they're doing, because what ends up happening in those moments? Arrogance arise, and the hole that your neighbor is in, you're about to fall into probably. That would never happen to me. I'm a spiritual person. He says, no. Listen, you need to go gently lest you fall in. See, this is what it looks like. And as you go in humility and you're expressing the fruit of gentleness, as you're expressing, you're living out the fruit of the spirit of gentleness, you do realize that you can't go to someone gently without being kind also? And usually if you're gentle and kind, you know what pervades around you? Peace. Peace. Listen, if I'm caught in something or I'm looking in a way that you're thinking, Kyle's not exhibiting what I would think he should probably be living like, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Don't come at me in public and bust me in the jaw. Come to me and say, hey, let's meet. Let's talk. And be gentle with me. Restore me. Mend me. Come gently with peace, with humility. Do you realize at that moment your neighbor is probably going to open up? Some of you are going to go, listen, I've tried this and they didn't open up. What do I do? Well, you get to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit called self-control at that point. I'm being serious. This is what spiritually mature brothers and sisters and people who are of the household of the faith do. We go to one another and we walk with them in community to share with them. But we want to be careful because if not, and we get arrogant and we think that would never happen to me, I don't want, unless I'm better than that, you're going to get caught. You're going to fall into the same transgression, possibly. You remember Jesus gave us the example. He said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, listen, before you go to a brother and you try to take the speck out of their eye, what should you do? Make sure the log is out of your eye. This is what he's saying here. And then in chapter 18, he says, listen, if you got a problem, if there's an issue, you need to go to a brother or sister, you do it privately. So you couple those two things that Jesus said with what Paul's saying, and listen, we go to each other privately. You come to me privately. You talk to me privately. You do it gently. And notice in verse 2 what he says. Notice in verse 2, he says, you're bearing one another's burdens. And when you bear their burden, you're not pointing out their sin. You're coming up alongside them and going, I'm going to get up under that sin with you and help you out of it. I'm with you. I got my arm around you. I'm going with you because I want to help mend this together. I'm not leaving you. I'm not pointing out. I'm not saying, hey, you do this and go there. It's no, I'm going to come along with you and we're going to go together. This is what he's trying to get us to see. This is what he's wanting to point out to us. And he says, when you're doing this, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, what was the law of Christ? What is that? Matthew chapter 22, the Pharisees and the scribes are coming to Jesus and they're trying to catch him. They're trying to get him in a trick here. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all time? And Jesus says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your power. Love him. But the second is like unto it, that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. You're to love your neighbor. There's that fruit of the Spirit that comes out again. Listen, when someone comes in love, speaking the truth gently with compassion, they're peaceful, they're trying to be kind. You know what that is? Brother, I'm going to go with you. The door is open for the Spirit. This is how we do good one to another. Now, I want to say this to you. The application point about doing good and being gentle is not 6-1. I don't want you to go to someone. Don't turn to anyone immediately after this and go, dude, I got a sin I need you to talk. I need to talk to you about. I've noticed this in your life. Listen, hold on right there. Do that later, but you better do it gently. Here's the real question that I want to ask for you today. Do you have a relationship in your life? Are you in a community of people where they are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, that someone could look at you and say with a gentle voice, loving, kind, hey, I need to talk to you. Some of you are not. In fact, I would venture to say many of you aren't. And I want to tell you that is the lifeline for your Christianity, for your walk with Christ, is for you to be in a community, not just a crowd. Not just a crowd. I'm talking about a community of people where you're known and they know you and they can walk with you and they can love you, they can walk with you gently. And it usually works best when you invite them into your life and say, I need you to watch for me. I need you to watch out for me. I need you to speak to me in such a way. I need you to watch me. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, we can become arrogant looking at people and thinking, why are they not getting this? Listen, they deserve what they're getting. They keep doing what they're doing. They're going to keep getting what they're getting. I've tried. Do you know, that's not what brothers and sisters do. Brothers and sisters come alongside and they love, they encourage, they're gentle. Now, Paul's not giving a pass on sin. I'm going to be really careful with you here. He's not giving a pass on sin. Romans chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Should we keep on sinning so that we can have more and more grace? No. He says, no, may it never be. Brothers, sisters, those who are spiritual, you're in the household of faith, we are accountable one to another to walk in one another's lives. How do we do good? We do it by walking in each other's lives gently. Gently one with another. The second way this passage speaks, and there's so much in this that I don't have time to cover all of it. You realize we're coming to the end of Galatians, and we could probably do another 20 weeks, 30 weeks on Galatians. All of Scripture, you can't mine everything out of Scripture. Scripture is good for life for us. That's why we study it over and over and over. So in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, he begins to turn and he's going to give us another example of what it looks like to be Spirit-filled, to be living out the Spirit, living in fruit. And it's, we are able then to be generous, to be generous. I want to read this passage because I want you to make sure that you see the context here. In verse 6, and I want to read 6 through 9, he says, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will reap also. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. What Paul is doing here is he turns and he now talks about doing good to the community, to the body. And the way that is expressed is in generosity. You're free now to be gentle. You're free to be generous. And he specifically speaks about being generous to the one who is teaching. Specifically, in the context here of what he's talking about. But I want to make sure that you also catch the context total. Remember, this is a one long letter. He has one verse that we've put the designation, talking about paying the elder, paying the teacher. You cannot get away from that. He has spent 5 other chapters saying, listen, you got to shake off all the false teaching. They've thrown you into confusion. You got to shake that off, and now you're to share all good things with the elder. You need to be freeing him up so that he's no longer having to make tents, farm, shepherd, do all of these things. Because the one who's been throwing you into confusion, you're now to call the one who is the elder so that he can then begin to equip you, to help you fight the battles, to encourage you, to train you in the Scripture. But notice how he says this and what he sets this in. He uses an illustration that they all would have understood. He uses the illustration of sowing and reaping, agricultural. He uses an agricultural illustration. You catch this, don't you? What you sow, that you'll reap. He says, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction, corruption. He says, if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap from the Spirit, and you're going to reap life. What was taught last week? Does anybody remember? That's a long time ago. I recognize that. Remember Heath taught about the works of the flesh and the works the Spirit life. And here he is continuing this conversation about the flesh and the Spirit. You can't get away from the fact that he's talking about being generous with your finances to the elder. But the context of what he's talking about here is also what you feed. What you feed, you're going to become. What you sow is what you're going to reap. If you sow grape seeds, you're going to get a vineyard. You sow olive seeds, you're going to get an olive orchard. This is what he's wanting us to see. Now, the context is it's all throughout the scripture. In Luke chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said the laborers to do his wages. In 1 Corinthians 9, 14, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. In 1 Timothy 5, 17, he says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Verse 18, he quotes Deuteronomy when he says, do not muzzle the ox while he's treading out the grain. Let him eat. What he's trying to get you to see here, what he's wanting us to see here is that, listen, there are those who are running amok, causing confusion. Pay the elder so that he can lead you so that he can be there full time, so that you have the opportunity then to be trained and guarded and he can fight the battles alongside you. But notice in verse seven, Paul turns and he's going to go back to this argument. He says, do not be deceived, though. Don't be deceived. And this is when he starts talking about how if you sow to the flesh. Do you remember what the deeds of the flesh were from last week? If you don't, I want to remind you. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, he says this, the deeds of the flesh are evident. They're sexual immorality, they're impurity, they're sensuality, they're adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That means there's a whole host of them. He says, listen, if you're going to like feed the flesh, if you're going to be generous to the flesh, you're going to sow orgies, you're going to reap orgies. You're going to sow division, you're going to reap division. You're going to sow anger, you're going to reap anger. You want to sow enmity, you're going to reap enmity. You're going to sow all, you're going to like buy your way into sexual immorality, sensuality, all of these things, you're going to reap that. And he says, what happens when you are sowing to the flesh? Look what he says here. In verse 8, he says, when you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption. You'll reap corruption. That word corruption means this. It means decay, destruction, perishing. This is exactly the same thing that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. He says, there's no way those of you who are spiritual can continue to live in the flesh. You can't continue to sow to the flesh. And then he balances that and brings it back to the Spirit. Notice he says here, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So he begins to say, listen, when you sow love, you're going to reap love. When you sow joy, you reap joy. When you sow peace, you're going to reap peace. When you sow patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, this is what you're going to reap. How are you going to learn to be trained in this? Pay the elder. He has the one who has been throwing you into confusion, and now you're reaping confusion. He says, you need to pay the pastor. This is where you probably want to go, okay, I think I know where this is going. Here's what I want to say to you. I want to say thank you for your generosity. This is a generous church. This is a super generous church. And I want to encourage you to continue to be generous. I want to encourage you in that. I want to say thank you on behalf of our staff because you generously give. And our staff, we have a full-time staff who gets to train, teach, preach, walk with children and students and adults who get to give leadership with you in equipping believers who you may not ever see. We get to fight some confusion battles so that they're not evident within the church to put those away. We get to walk alongside gently with people and help work through dissension. Thank you so much for your generosity. I want to say thank you for all the things that you do, the way you give financially so that we can have vacation Bible schools, we can have camps, I want to say thank you for your generosity. Did you realize that because of your generosity, we feed somewhere around 100 children every week in the school system right around us? There are kids in what's called an Atlas program who may go home in the evening on the weekends with no food, and we give them a food bag so that they can feed themselves on the weekend. I want to say thank you for your generosity for that. I want to say thank you for your generosity. Because of your generosity, there's a new place being built called the Journey Home, who work with homeless in our community, and you've been a part of that. Thank you for your generosity working right here. Thank you for your generosity because you're paying so that people can be over there, overseas, and sending people so that the gospel can continue to go forward. Thank you for your generosity. Do you realize that every year we do this thing called Operation Christmas Child? You know those shoeboxes? Every year you guys pick up those shoeboxes and we'll give anywhere from 100 to 150 of those. Thank you for that. Every year we have opportunities. In fact, it'll be up here in the next probably 4 or 5 weeks, our giving tree, where there'll be 40 plus families on a giving tree who have no way of providing for families during Christmas. All of those are gone. Do you know where those come from? The school system. The school system. And you, every year, handle those. Folks, I'm going to tell you, thank you for your generosity. Do you know that that's exactly what spiritually mature people of the household, people who are brothers and sisters do, is that they bring their finances generously together so that we can do so much more. Thank you for what you do. Keep being generous. Keep being generous. Notice, though, what he says in verse 10. I want you to see this. In verse 10, he says this, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone." Those things that I just talked about, they affect everyone in our community. But notice the end of that. He says, "And especially to those who are of the household of faith." Do you know who's the household of faith? Right here. Do you know there's nothing more that warms my heart? And I see it all the time. I get to be the recipient of it. When someone will walk up to me and say, "Hey, I heard that so-and-so has a need," and all they do is hand me an envelope and say, "Would you make sure they get that?" They're not looking for a tax write-off. They're not looking to get their giving record up. They're just wanting to make sure that somebody's getting taken care of. Whether it's somebody getting their lawn mowed, whether it's medical equipment, whether it's a senior adult whose car needs to be fixed. I was telling Amy the other day, this is the most meal-training church I've ever been in. But I'm going to tell you, do you realize how much those meals cost and how much they help those that they receive, that receive them? It's called generosity, the household of faith. It's pulling alongside someone, and you're donating time to go fix somebody's something in their house, willing to go pick up someone, and it's costing you gas, you time, but you're doing something for the household of faith. Thank you for your generosity. You know what happens a lot of time in the household of faith, those who are spiritual, those who are brothers and sisters? We begin many times to think, is my gentleness making a difference? Is my generosity making a difference? Notice what Paul says here. Paul said in verse 9, he says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Can I be really clear with you? This is not prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about you sow 100, you're going to get 10,000. No. In fact, what he said here is that when you sow to the Spirit, you reap from the Spirit. He didn't say when you sow 100, you're going to get 1,000, get 10,000. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but here's what I can tell you to do. You continue to be generous, you continue to be gentle, and the Lord will take and he will use. And if you are discouraged, thinking, does it matter? Is what I'm doing mattering? Can I use the illustration that Paul just kind of bear this out a little bit further? It would be a very poor farmer who would go and pick rocks, plow his field, buy the seed, throw the seed out, and go, man, it's been 2 weeks and nothing's happened. Nothing's going on. I think I'm going to sell this farm because this farm is not productive. Do you realize? Listen, the Lord God created time and seasons. There's rhythms. You plant, and at the due time, the tree comes up and fruit is born. I've been told there is a bamboo tree in South America that in the first 4 years of it being planted, it only grows about 4 feet, but in the fifth year, it shoots up 35 feet. So let me ask you a question. Did it take 1 year or did it take 5 years for it to grow? It took five. Folks, I want to tell you, was my math off? Folks, don't give up. Keep being gentle. Keep walking alongside. Keep encouraging. Keep doing good. Keep being generous one to another. Giving tithes and offerings. Just meeting needs of brothers and sisters. Because here's what I know. The Lord God is going to reap a harvest in your life in due season. And it will matter in the body, in the household of faith. Again, I want to be really careful with you. I'm not talking prosperity gospel here. You realize the only reason that we can do good is because good has been done to us. The one who had all of heaven left it all, came here and took on poverty so that you and I might be rich. That we are heirs with Christ of God. Because Jesus sacrificed. The one who is all good, who never gave up and never wearied of being good until he had finished at the right time the good work that the Father had sent him to do. He continued to sow to the Spirit so that you and I might reap eternal glory. He is why we do what we do. For the praise and glory of God the Father, we're gentle with one another. To the praise and glory of God the Father, we're generous one to another. Today, there are some of you in here, you think you are so far from the Lord. One, because you don't know Him. You've never surrendered your life to Him. But can I tell you, you're closer than what you ever think you are? You're a prayer of surrender away. He opens your eyes. He brings you from death to life, and you respond. How do we know that you're saved? By you responding. We begin to see the fruit of the Spirit lived out in your life. You testify. And today, you came here because a friend brought you. You wanted to see a baptism. You heard something's happening. But I want to tell you, He brought you here so that you might become a part of the household of faith. Immediately after this, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to be out in the foyer. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Some of you, many of you, you are already followers of Christ. And today the Lord Jesus has kind of pricked your heart. He stirred in your life and you've realized, man, I've not been a gentle person with people. In fact, I've been the guy looking down going, why can't they get this right? When in reality, He's calling you to come alongside them and bear that burden of sin. He's called you to come along and to come off the cash and be generous with them. Bear their financial burden. He's called you to come and join in with this body and be generous with your finances so the gospel can continue to go. This is what He's calling us to today. My question to you is will you be obedient to what the Spirit may be leading you to do? What it is He's calling you to do. What it is that He's asking us as a community, brothers, sisters who are spiritual in the household of faith. Lord Jesus, we love You. We honor You and we magnify only You today. I would ask, Holy Spirit, that You would take Your word and that You would do with it as You please. Would You please save people today? And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen. Today,